KJAN Sports.
Time for Jacob Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. Most of the state's 342 high school football teams will begin holding preseason practices next week, although a few teams that play their first games on the 23rd are getting started this week. All of the teams will need to follow new guidelines that have been put in place by the Iowa High School Athletic Association. IHSAA Assistant Executive Director Todd Tharp says the biggest change may be the order of no more than one practice per day.
I think it has been a fairly, common thing for some of our veterans. Coaches, I believe, have been used to a morning practice and then coming back in the evening and maybe having then the other practice. But we've also seen a lot of coaches that have been going to one practice per day, just because, like I said, maybe they have urban, there are maybe some of our rural areas where it's tough to get those kids in and out of the, to get them out from where they live and back in.
Well, that one practice must not exceed 3 hours in length, and Tharp says that mandate applies only to physical activity, so a practice could go longer.
But they can take them in to educate them, maybe go and watch a little bit of game film, maybe Gatorade them, water, maybe give them an energy bar, something during that time. And they might actually be there for maybe 3.5 hours, but the key is 3 hours of physical activity.
Well, for the first time this year, teams are allowed to hold a scrimmage with another school after 10 days of practice and prior to their first game. Many football coaches, particularly in some of Iowa's smaller schools, have been pushing for such a scrimmage for years to take the place of an intra-squad game.
A lot of our small schools might only have 18 kids out for high school football, grades 9 through 12. Well, obviously, if you don't have 22, it's tough to scrimmage. And also, too, you've got maybe, you might have your varsity squad, an intra-squad scrimmage going against your JV squad. Well, juniors and seniors going against freshmen, maybe not getting a whole lot out of that scrimmage.
Well, most of the changes to the preseason rules in Iowa are based on safety concerns and follow national guidelines on the issue. Tharp says full contact with pads was previously allowed on day 4 of the preseason. The new rule allows full contact on day number 6. Another change involves postseason play. The Unidome in Cedar Falls will only be used for semifinal and championship games this year. Iowa wide receiver Cameron Wilson and lineman Drew Clark have left the program. Hawkeye coach Kirk Ferentz announced Monday that Wilson, a redshirt freshman, notified him last month that he intends to transfer. Clark, a seldom-used senior from nearby Marion, will forego his final season to focus on his schoolwork. Iowa opened fall practice yesterday. The Hawkeyes will hold an open scrimmage on August 17th and host Northern Illinois in their season opener on August 31st. Well, the Big 12 is as unsettled as ever heading into 2013, with more than half the league earning at least one first-place vote in the preseason poll, except, of course, for Iowa State. Once again, expectations are fairly low for the Cyclones. Iowa State, which finished 6-7 and 3-6 in the Big 12 in 2012, has been picked to finish ninth. The Cyclones need to replace at least 11 starters and are highly unsettled at defensive line and wide receiver heading into fall camp, which began yesterday. Iowa State opens its fifth season under Coach Paul Rhodes against Northern Iowa on August 31st. Rhodes says the competition for starting spots is a good thing, adding that it creates the appetite necessary for improvement. Well, the Iowa State Athletic Department says the football team will wear throwback uniforms during the game with Iowa on September 14th in Ames. Marketing Director Mary Pink says the uniforms will go all the way back to the 1920s.
They look like the uniforms from the Jack Trice era. They will feature the five stripes. They will be cardinal jerseys with the five stripes and then a white number. And then they will have gold pants and then striped socks, striped cardinal and gold. To complete the uniform.
Well, the uniforms will be topped off with a cardinal helmet and just the numbers on the side instead of the current ISU logo. Trice was the first black player in Cyclone history, and the football stadium is named in his honor. He played in 2 games at Iowa State and died from injuries suffered in a game at Minnesota during the 1923 season. Pink says they researched the equipment that Trice wore 90 years ago.
We had to look at previous pictures that were worn during that era and look at trying to match them as closely as we could, and we went through many different designs in order to accurately depict what the jerseys and the pants would have looked like.
Well, fans will be able to bid in an online auction at Cyclones.com to buy the uniforms. The first round of bidding starts this Friday, August 9th. The Cyclones will hold their annual media day on August 11th, and they open the season August 31st against Northern Iowa. Texas A&M coach Kevin Sumlin has told reporters that he's taking a wait-and-see attitude on the allegations that quarterback Johnny Manziel accepted cash for autographs. Sumlin says the school is investigating the story that ran on ESPN that said the Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback signed items in exchange for a five-figure fee. In NFL training camp news, Redskins quarterback Robert Griffin III says he's ready to move on and take a bigger role in practice as he works his way back from knee surgery. Griffin says he's had no soreness or swelling in his right knee during the first week and a half of training camp. Coach Mike Shanahan has limited Griffin to 7-on-7 drills during camp, keeping the quarterback away from the 11-on-11 sessions. Griffin says he can only accomplish so much in the 7-on-7s, and he's ready for more. Green Bay starting left tackle Brian Bulaga reportedly suffered a season-ending knee injury during a weekend scrimmage. The Journal Sentinel, citing an unidentified source, reported that Bulaga tore an ACL and will miss the season. The Packers canceled practice Monday, and no one from the team was available to comment. Denver tight end Joel Dreesen has undergone arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. He's expected to miss the remainder of training camp. Right tackle Orlando Franklin limped off the field early during Monday's practice with an injured hip and did not return. Browns running back Trent Richardson is in full pads and practicing again. The second-year pro was held out of Cleveland's two previous training camp sessions with a bruised right shin, but coach Rob Chudzinski says the move was strictly precautionary. The Arizona Cardinals again were without their top two running backs as training camp resumed Monday after a day off for all of their players. Rashard Mendenhall missed his third straight practice with patella tendonitis, and Ryan Williams remained sidelined with a sore knee. Colts receiver Darius Heyward-Bey spent Monday afternoon watching Colts practice due to a sprained knee. The team doesn't believe the injury is serious, and they expect Heyward-Bey to be back on the field soon. Well, there were four players in the NFL last season who made at least seven interceptions, and then there was the Kansas City Chiefs. They picked off seven as well. The Chiefs' inability to cause turnovers, particularly in the secondary, was somewhere near the root of their problem in an awful season. The Chiefs have dramatically revamped their secondary this offseason as they jettisoned cornerback Javier Arenas and brought in veteran defensive back Sean Smith and Dante Robinson. Andy Reid and the rest of the coaching staff are banking on them to make a difference this season. Well, the Iowa Girls High School, the Iowa Girls Coaches Association has announced the 2013 All-State softball teams now that the season has concluded. Among the area players on the 1A squad, Kendall Fichter of Fremont Mills is a first-team selection. Fichter hit .618 with six homers and 44 RBIs. Sophomore pitcher Rachel Smith of Exira EHK is a third-team selection. Smith had a record of 24-4 with an ERA of .52, striking out 361 batters. She also hit .412 on the season. Class 2A first-team picks include Madison Keyser and Lexus Rogers of Trainer, Jody Hagedorn of IKM Manning, and Mariah Bowman of Kemper Catholic. Keyser had a 27-4 record with an ERA of .87 with 316 strikeouts for Trainer. Rogers hit .383. Hagedorn of IKM Manning hit .411 with a dozen home runs and 46 RBIs. She also pitched a record of 12-11. Bowman hit .460 for Kemper Catholic and also had a mark of 11-14 pitching. Haley Hellstrom of Missouri Valley was a Class 2A second-teamer, and third-team selections include Caitlin Diltz of Underwood, Bailey Jansen of Missouri Valley, Mallory Christensen of Tri-Center, and Courtney Oviatt of Logan Magnolia. In Class 3A, Rianne Cappell of Atlantic and Jade Ramoses of Clarinda were both third-team All-State picks. Cappell led Atlantic with a .403 batting average with 54 hits and 34 runs scored. Class 4A first-team selections include Taylor Shaben of Harlan and Shelby Pieper of Denison. Shaben hit .473 with six homers and 30 RBIs. Allie Martinez of Lewis Central was a second-team pick, while Lisa Niebel of Glenwood and Haley Lemasters of Creston were both named to the third team. In Major League Baseball, Zach Greinke pitched into the seventh inning and raised his batting average to .405 with an RBI single, helping the L.A. Dodgers win their 15th straight on the road, a 3-2 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals last night. Adam Wainwright gave up three runs in seven innings and failed in his third straight attempt to win his 14th game. Just two other National League games, Atlanta beat Washington 3-2, San Francisco over Milwaukee 4-2. In the American League, Jeremy Guthrie pitched a four-hitter, and Eric Hosmer drove in a career-high five runs, helping the Kansas City Royals rout the Minnesota Twins 13-0. That's a season high for runs scored for the Twins, or for the Royals, who have won 12 of their past 13 games. Elsewhere in the AL, Detroit beat Cleveland 4-2, Houston over Boston 2-0, White Sox beat the Yankees 8-1, Texas over the Angels 5-2, and Toronto beat Seattle 3-1. In Pacific Coast League baseball yesterday, Salt Lake over Omaha 5-4, Tacoma beat Iowa 6-5. It was a busy day, even by Alex Rodriguez standards. The New York Yankees third baseman was activated from the disabled list. He met the media before Monday's game against the White Sox in Chicago, made his season debut, and produced a bloop single in his first at-bat. He also was suspended, by the way, for the remainder of the season and all of 2014, although he'll be able to play until his appeal is heard. Rodriguez and 12 other players had been given lengthy suspensions by Major League Baseball after an in-depth probe into the closed Biogenesis anti-aging clinic. All but Rodriguez have accepted their suspensions, but he opted to appeal his and remain on the active roster. Rodriguez received the harshest suspension. Commissioner Bud Selig says Rodriguez had used testosterone as well as human growth hormone. Selig also stated Rodriguez engaged in a course of conduct intended to obstruct and frustrate the office of the commissioner in its investigation. Rodriguez held a news conference before taking the field for the Yankees game against the White Sox in Chicago. He wouldn't deny using PEDs, but said during the news conference that when the time is right, there'll be an opportunity to do all of that. I don't think that time is right now. Rodriguez is expected to file an appeal by Wednesday. It will be at least a week before that appeal is heard and several more weeks before an arbitrator renders his decision. If the 211-game penalty is upheld, his lost pay could range from $30.6 million to $32.7 million, depending on when exactly the suspension is served. Rangers outfielder Nelson Cruz, Tigers shortstop Johnny Peralta, and Padres shortstop Everett Cabrera are among 13 players to receive 50-game suspensions Monday for their connection with Biogenesis of America. All three were All-Stars this season, with Cruz leading Texas in homers and RBIs, and Peralta serving as Detroit's second-best hitter behind Miguel Cabrera. Others agreeing to 50-game bans include Yankees catcher Francisco Cervelli, Philadelphia pitcher Antonio Bastardo, Seattle catcher Jesus Montero, and New York Mets infielder Jordani Valdespin. MLB also cleared Nationals pitcher Gio Gonzalez and Orioles third baseman Danny Valencia, saying its inquiry found no violations by those players linked to Biogenesis in media reports. Gonzalez says he has no lingering sense of animosity toward baseball. And in racing news, three-time NASCAR champion Tony Stewart has broken his right leg and has had surgery following a crash in a sprint car race at Southern Iowa Speedway Monday night. A spokesman for Stewart said the 42-year-old driver broke his right tibia and fibula. A scheduled test for the number 14 Stewart Haas Racing NASCAR team at Atlanta Motor Speedway today was canceled. No replacement driver for this weekend's race at Watkins Glen was immediately announced. That accident came a day after Stewart finished ninth in the NASCAR race at Pocono Raceway. He's 11th in the Sprint Cup standings with five races to go until the chase for the championship field is set. Stewart was leading the 30-lap feature in a 360 winged sprint car with five laps to go when a lapped car spun in turn four and collided with Stewart and two others. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.